This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Pastor John Paul Miller out of South Carolina, Myrtle Beach, set free, walks free on felony cyberstalking charges that he cyberstalked his wife, Micah, just before she's found dead. And now a brand new lawsuit claiming the church was just a sex playground for the Reverend John Paul Miller. Why is he walking free? Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us. The feds indict a Myrtle Beach pastor, preacher John Paul Miller, after the shocking death of his young wife.
Robinson County 911, what's the address of your emergency?
I'm about to self end. I just want my family to know where to find me.
In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Every time I see Micah Miller, I feel a great sense of injustice. Amidst claims, new claims in a civil lawsuit that Miller, the pastor, and Micah Miller's former husband, used the church as a sexual playground. According to the complainant, the petitioner in that case, she was just 15 years old when their sex affair started. You know, in most jurisdictions with an underage girl, that is called statutory rape. I don't know what's going to become of any criminal charges there, but there is a civil lawsuit right now. And this, as Pastor John Paul Miller walks free on felony charges. Listen.
We know just a fraction of what Micah went through, and we're very, very pleased that he has finally been indicted.
Outside the Florence courthouse where J.P. Miller faces arraignment on federal charges, more than 70 people dressed in purple chant Micah's name, carrying signs with her picture and purple balloons. Miller, dressed in a silver suit, refusing to speak to the media, entering the courthouse through a side gate, protected by extra security. Some supporters could not enter the packed courtroom where Miller makes his plea.
Oh, the irony. Oh, by the way, that video is from our friends at Myrtle Beach Sun News and WPDE. The irony, Jennifer Wood, the irony that Pastor John Paul Miller shows up in a silver suit demanding anonymity. It reminds me of Harry and Meghan's worldwide privacy tour. Don't look at me. Leave me alone. As I go on to the late night talk shows, that said, he shows up in this sparkly silver suit, demanding to be left alone and flanked by security. But yet no one protected Micah Miller. Now she's dead. How many times was she allegedly abused, verbally threatened, cyberstalked, you name it, by her husband? Can you imagine your own husband posting naked photos of you online? That said, why is he walking free, Jennifer Wood? Why is he out amongst regular people?
It's a good question. He is out with an ankle monitor on and with some pretty serious conditions related to his release. We'll have to see if he can follow all of those conditions.
Put her up. Please put her up. Okay, Jennifer, I like you. You're an incredible reporter. Did you just say some serious conditions like an ankle monitor? I'm going to play you some sound in a moment about a guy that eluded police because he put the ankle monitor on his cat. He got a 3-day lead on the feds, right? The cat was wearing the ankle monitor. Is that, do you actually think that's a serious condition? I got another case where a guy committed a rape with the ankle monitor on his ankle. You think an ankle monitor is going to slow down Pastor John Paul Miller?
No, and I also don't think, I mean, we'll see if he can abide by the conditions that they put on him, because he does not seem to be the type of person who can stay quiet. He seems to always, you know, at the most inopportune times feel like he needs to give his side of the story. It is absolutely bizarre. And I think that is why he is in this position in the first place.
Okay, there you see him front and center with his added security coming out of the courthouse. That's from our friends at WMBF News. Actually, that suit's not sparkly. It's very conservative, unlike his normal get-ups. You know, this is what I don't get. Regina Ward joining me. She is a lawyer, high-profile lawyer for Micah Miller's family, and she founded the Regina Ward Law Firm. Regina, when I married, from then on, no other guy's attractive to me. I don't care. I don't care if they're good-looking, if they can dance, if they're funny and witty and brilliant and the whole thing. Don't care. Because that's what I signed up for. And I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Self-control. This guy, an ankle monitor, you think it's going to stop him from doing something bizarre and very, very wrong?
It's not going to, he's never going to be stopped from doing something bizarre because he just is a bizarre person. But I'll tell you, everybody was happy. So was I to learn, because the judge at the very end, when he was going through the conditions of the bond, we kept waiting because the U.S. Attorney General's office showed evidence that he was a flight risk and a danger to society. So in order for him to, and they wanted this ankle monitor on him. So there was a question, you know, because his defense attorney is saying, oh, well, he showed up for court. He's not a flight risk. He lives here, et cetera. Well, the judge just didn't buy that. And the judge said, no, put an ankle monitor on. Now, I agree with you, Nancy. It doesn't prevent people from doing, committing other crimes or doing something. But I tell you what it does do. It's in his head. You know, he tracked Micah for over a year. And so it's such poetic justice that now the U.S. Attorney General's office has a tracker on him to see where he is at all times.
If a cat could outsmart law enforcement wearing an ankle monitor, even John Paul Miller can do the same. Listen.
Martinez Espinoza on house arrest with GPS monitoring after he's caught trying to distribute 40 pounds of cocaine. Espinoza's ankle monitor gives frequent tampering notifications, but he's always found at home, claiming no interference with the device. Authorities roughly 6 weeks later get a notification it's out of battery. This time, Espinoza isn't home, and for up to 3 days, the device was tracking his cat.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so everyone's rejoicing that John Paul Miller has an ankle monitor after he gets out of jail on serious charges and Micah is dead? I'm not rejoicing. To me, that's like, okay, behave now. And there's more. Do you recall the name J.C. Duggar? I'll never forget it, because she was kidnapped on the way to school and she was held hostage. For years, she gave birth to 3 children, having been raped by her kidnapper. Guess what he was wearing? An ankle monitor. Listen.
Philip Garrido serves 11 years of a 50-year sentence for rape with decades of parole. Garrido must visit his parole officer twice a month in addition to biweekly unannounced home visits. In 2006, Garrido is fitted with an ankle monitor. Despite surveillance of Garrido's movements, it's another 3 years before authorities discover Garrido kept J.C. Lee Duggar captive in his backyard for 18 years.
Okay, that's not all. J.C. Duggar was held captive and gave birth to 3 children, fathered by rapist Philip Garrido in a shed in his backyard, and he was wearing an ankle monitor. It did nothing. Okay, Bowen Turner, classic example. He allegedly committed a rape while wearing his ankle monitor.
Bowen Turner begins a reign of terror in Orangeburg, South Carolina, with the rape of classmate Dallas Stoller. Turner's released on house arrest. Not only does Turner routinely violate the terms of his bond, he rapes a second teen while wearing an ankle monitor. When Dallas takes her own life, the solicitor's office drops her case. A third teen accuses Turner of rape.
I went out with my best friend. We went to a party, and I stepped outside to make a phone call, and he ended up pulling me behind a truck on a tree line. And next thing I know, I'm on the ground. And I remember feeling what he was doing, what was going on. And on the inside, I was yelling, I was screaming. I wanted to kick and scream, but it was just like my body, it wouldn't move.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. To Regina Ward joining me, there seems to be a lot of rejoicing that the pastor has walked free and, oh, he has to wear an ankle monitor. I've got this many cases right here of people that went on to abscond or commit another crime or trick law enforcement while wearing an ankle monitor. So why are you so happy? Are you just like shocked that their charges were actually handed down to start with?
Yes, I am. And that was one thing that we've been sitting on edge of seat waiting from the beginning, you know, or happy whenever we got that search warrant and went into his home, then happy that the indictment came out and very happy that there was an arraignment. And the rejoicing isn't, I agree with you, Nancy, it's not, as I said earlier, it's not going to prevent him from committing other crimes. But at the end of the day, here's the thing. There was a concern that the judge was not going to put one on him. That is a super scary thought to begin with, because the government needs to know where he is at all times. Now, I understand he can go do other things, but the fact that he tracked and stalked Micah, it seemed justifiable. The best form of justice at this point right now is to track Mr. Miller. So now that he knows that he's been tracked by the government, okay? So there was a real concern that the judge was not going to issue that. We all felt it was very critical, especially in light of how he cyber-stalked Micah. So just makes sense that the government should be
watching
him.
You know what? We could track him a whole lot better if we were watching him via closed-circuit TV walk from his cell to the canteen and back to his cell. And maybe
Absolutely.
To the cafeteria, and maybe for his 1 hour of recreation in the yard. I could track him a lot better that way. But
I agree.
Okay, Miss Lady, whatever you say, an uproar, outrage after John Paul Miller, the pastor out of Myrtle Beach, walks free. Listen.
Today, John Paul Miller was arraigned on federal charges in this courtroom. This is the first step in the judicial process. He was charged with cyberstalking and lying to federal investigators.
J.P. Miller pleads not guilty to cyberstalking and false statements to investigators, waiving his right to speedy trial. Prosecutors claim Miller is a flight risk, citing a large safe, silver, and valuable baseball cards found in Miller's home as means to flee, in addition to access to a private plane. The judge setting Miller's bond at $100,000, and Miller must surrender his passport and wear an ankle monitor.
That from our friends at Myrtle Beach Sun News. The protest seemingly endless.
Cracking, JP. FBI's coming. We told you.
That from the Robbie Harvey on X and Melissa Pfeiffer. Apparently, the protesters had more faith than many legal eagles did. Jennifer Wood, she kept saying, following him through the parking lot, the feds are coming, you're cracking, you're cracking. Nobody ever thought anything would happen, and then bam, it did. John Paul Miller, Pastor John Paul Miller, just fresh out of an arraignment, walks free with an ankle bracelet, I mean monitor. Jennifer Wood, what are the charges? PTL, the feds did go after him when local authorities did nothing. What are the charges specifically, Jennifer?
He is facing federal charges of cyberstalking, resulting in death, as well as making false statements to the federal investigators.
Okay, regarding the false statements, Sydney Sumner joining me, Crime Stories investigative reporter. Can you elaborate on that? Of course, she's correct, but what are the details?
So the two false statements that J.P. Miller got caught in, well, there's more than two. There was one point where Miller claimed that they were calling each other back and forth all day, arguing, trying to play phone tag. In reality, he called Micah 50 times that day, trying to get a hold of her, and she was not participating. She wasn't calling him back. That was harassing phone calls from Miller. In another statement, he claimed that no one had ever told him to stop calling Micah, stop trying to contact her, but there's record of a police officer having an interaction with Miller and telling him to stop contacting her. And the third one is that Miller claimed he didn't damage Micah's tires, that confrontation at the tire shop, but they found evidence he purchased a tire deflation device. So it's very, very obvious that he's not telling the truth there.
Okay, what is that, Sid? A tire deflation device? I mean, I've gotten the twins so many of those. Pump your car tire up immediately. You just push a button in case they have a flat. But I have never encountered a tire deflation device. What is that?
Well, it's actually used for off-roading vehicles. So a lot of times if you have like a 4x4 and you want to take it into really rocky terrain, you might actually want to let some air out of your tires. You wouldn't do this on a normal vehicle, but they do exist for that purpose.
Sydney Sumner, all I could find researching was a rapid flow tire deflator with a gauge for off-road air down, an off-road air down kit. Okay, did not know that until I began researching the John Paul Miller case. Tell me, Sydney Sumner, does John Paul Miller have an ATV or an off-road vehicle?
Not that I know of, Nancy.
Jennifer Wood, does he, that we know of?
I mean, he has plenty of vehicles, access to plenty of vehicles, including a truck, but nothing specifically for off-roading that I'm aware of.
Dr. Sue Kornbluth joining us, and boy, do I need a shrink. She is a doctor of clinical psychology, a relationship expert, owner of Dr. Sue and You, and author of Building Self-Esteem in Children Who Are Adopted. It goes on. You can find her at drsueandyou.com. Dr. Sue, thank you for being with us. Can this guy, pardon the pun, just charm the pants off of anybody?
Oh, Nancy, you got it 100%. Look, what I'm saying here is I'm listening to all of this and feeling disgusted inside that he is an ankle monitor and probably should be behind bars. This is all about him. And you know, the one thing that I do, Nancy, is I look right in the eyes. And what I see in his eyes is emptiness. And to me, that's a sign of a pure sociopath. And I don't understand what the judge was thinking by letting him out. And that is scary to me and the population.
Well, you know what? Guys, you're seeing a video from Solid Rock Ministries. He didn't just con, I think, the judge. He didn't just con Micah. He managed to somehow con a whole congregation. Hey, Dr. Sue, did you ever see that magician's trick where a magician made like a whole bridge disappear? It was David Copperfield. That's who it was. And my son, as a boy, is like 9, believed that David Copperfield made the whole bridge disappear and insisted, this is what he wanted, for us to fly him and his twin sister to Vegas to see Copperfield. And we did. And it was a great show, by the way. But there is no way in H.E. Double Hill that he made a bridge disappear. But everybody believed him because they wanted to believe it. They wanted to see the bridge disappear. What is that? There's got to be some psychological term for that, where a whole group of people believe the same thing, the same wacky thing.
Well, it's cognitive dissonance. I mean, they want to believe that this person is true because they want to believe in something that gives them a sense of belonging and a sense of purpose. And so they followed him because it made them feel good about themselves. And even if they had questions about him or they had thoughts about him that were not pure, he was giving them something that was making them feel powerful. I mean, isn't that what a lot of pastors do? That they're in these positions and they want to make other people believe in what they're saying to them. It's oftentimes like a cult-like following. I'm not saying it's every pastor, but in this particular case, that's what I believe it is. He's in a position of power and control, and he uses it to the nth degree to have coercive control over who is listening to him.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Let's take a look at the Reverend John Paul Miller, who is innocent until proven guilty, as he snake charms his congregation.
Speaking for many years and for the first time, I don't really know exactly, you know, how to open or how to close or any of that. About Micah that you may have, it may, I don't know. I can't wait to see her again one day. I'm good. She was the worship leader, and she was bold and confident and anointed and passionate. She was all big into tattoos, and I cannot stand tattoos because they hurt, and I don't like pain. I want to read one of the more recent poems she wrote. And that's nothing. She was so creative. She just, it was just always just coming out of her. Imagine being married to that. It was like that in our house all the time.
From Solid Rock Ministries.
The grand jury charges from November 16, 2022 until Micah's death on April 27, 2024, 528 days, Miller harassed Micah. Count 1 claims Miller threatened to use nude videos and photos of Micah to harass, posted a nude photo of Micah online without her consent, placed tracking devices on vehicles used by Micah, placed Micah under surveillance with intent to kill, injure, harass, or intimidate, damage Micah's vehicle, and interfered with Micah's finances. He also interfered with Micah's daily activities.
John Paul Miller sent or caused to be sent unwanted and harassing electronic communications to her, used or threatened to use nude videos and photographs of her, posted a nude photo of her online without her consent, placed or caused to be placed a tracking device on her vehicle with the intent to harass and surveil her, and he interfered with her finances, banking, and interfered with her daily activities.
There's another felony count, but let's address count one. Jennifer Wood joining us, journalist, director of research, FitzNews.com, on the case from the beginning. Jennifer Wood, again, thank you for being with us tonight. Explain to me how the naked photo of Micah Miller ended up on the internet.
He was using them as leverage and posting them on Facebook. You know, he is known to use fake accounts, and just a continuation of the ongoing harassment that she faced.
I'm just trying to figure this out. So Sydney Sumner joining us, Crime Stories investigative reporter. Sydney, he posted naked photos of his own wife in retaliation for what?
It's unclear what this was in retaliation for, but he apologized and told her he was just trying to hurt her. And this photo was posted to a Facebook group called Big Boobs and Nice Curves. When Micah tried to do something about it, it was posted anonymously, and police said there was nothing they could do. But John Paul Miller told her, "I'm sorry for doing this. I just wanted to hurt you. It was evil of me to do that."
Okay, Regina Ward, that's complete BS on John Paul Miller's part and of local authorities. I'm just putting it out there. Everyone knows about IP addresses, internet provider addresses. We can track terrorists far, far away in the stands, Afghanistan, and all the stands on the other side of the world. They're their IP address. That's why they're always creating new email accounts to send surreptitious missives. You have to go to internet cafes. You have to go to wherever the email's coming from to find them. By then, they've already shut down there and gone somewhere else. But that's easily tracked. That sending of her naked body photo would be easily tracked. Why did local authorities say, oh, well, it was sent anonymously? There is no such thing. If I can track a terror group hiding out somewhere in Egypt or up in the hills in Pakistan, I can catch John Paul Miller hunched over his computer in his basement. Please.
That's right. But we have a big problem here in the state of South Carolina. We do not have, and I'm not sure, but I think I saw where South Carolina is the only state in the U.S. that does not have, I hate calling it this, but it's what people refer to it as revenge porn. Obviously, that's not what it is, but that's what it's called. In the state of South Carolina, the way the law works here is it's if the recipient is, is offended by the receipt of it. But if you send the photo to someone, then it becomes their property and he can upload that. So as far as finding out where it came from, that would require getting into his computer. That would require a warrant. But we didn't have a law here in South Carolina against that, sending that. So you're correct.
Wait a minute. Regina, didn't you have cyber stalking law?
There is a cyber stalking law, yes, but whenever it comes to nude photos and things like that, the way the law works here, and I'm sorry I don't have it in front of me right now because I looked into this in the beginning, and that is the law in South Carolina says that if the recipient of a photograph like that is offended by it, then that's a form of harassment. But if you send a photo and give to someone, then it becomes theirs to do what they want to with. And that, I think, I'm pretty sure that South Carolina is the only state in the U.S. that does not have a law specifically to the dissemination of it.
I find that really hard to believe, that you take a naked photo of someone and you post it to a Facebook group, and yet you've done nothing wrong in South Carolina. And, I mean, it's pretty obvious to me that she could tell LE law enforcement who took the photo and who has control over the photo. If she's complaining to the police about it, obviously she didn't send it. So who else had power and control over the photo? Him, John Paul Miller. So explain to me, Jennifer Wood, journalist, director of research, FitzNews.com. Jennifer, what is your understanding of why local authorities sat on their thumbs and did nothing? And the feds, who we begged for weeks and weeks and weeks, please step in, and they did. Why didn't local do anything?
Looking at the numerous reports that Micah filed in the months leading up to her death, they didn't do anything on any of the allegations that she was making. I mean, she called and reported that the tire deflation device had been on her car. They found tracking devices on their car. And other than telling him to knock it off, that is as far as it went.
Wow. To Dr. Thomas Coyne joining me. You know him well. He is the chief medical examiner, District 2 Medical Examiner's Office in the state of Florida. Forensic pathologist, toxicologist, and neuropathologist on Twitter, X. You can find him at Dr. T.M. Coyne. Dr. Coyne, thank you for being with us. You have reviewed all of the findings. And I want to make sure that you, not just the local law enforcement who completely botched this case, that you believe Micah Miller committed suicide. I just want to make sure that you, an independent and impartial medical examiner with a pristine reputation, you agree she committed suicide.
I do, based upon everything I've read and the autopsy report. You know, we're We're as good as the evidence that we are provided. So in this particular case, just reviewing her her report, I see she was transported to one of the regional medical examiner's offices, where I assume she was examined by a forensic pathologist. But her external examination clearly shows a contact-type gunshot entrance wound on the right side of her head, and there was an exit wound on the left side of the head. The fractures that were present on her skull, the bruising around her eyes is all consistent with a gunshot wound that occurred just before death. The external examination also showed no additional trauma to her body, no evidence of strangulation or that she was beaten anywhere, or even any defensive wounds on her body. The only injury that they describe is the one that occurred before death, which is a gunshot wound, and some minor post-mortem injuries that occurred from her being in the water. So at that point, you have the cause of death. We know the cause of death, which is gunshot wound of the head, consistent with a contact type. Then the question becomes, well, what is the manner? Is it a suicide or a homicide? And you take in all of the additional information that comes from law enforcement, and we're only as good as that information. So in this particular case, we know that she made that 911 call. We know that she purchased the gun. There's nothing on scene to suggest that someone else was there with her or may have actually pulled that trigger. So all the preponderance of the evidence here indicates that this is a gunshot wound of the head, cause of death, manner of death, suicide.
To Regina Ward, the lawyer for Micah Miller's family, many people did not believe that she had committed suicide. There is video of her in the gun shop buying the gun. If it had not been for this video, Regina, I might not have believed it myself. But the video shows her buying the gun, and the gun shop owner has copious records of what gun was purchased, and it was the gun that was the weapon, the killing weapon. That convinced me. What does the family think?
Well, her father said that she was concerned and feared for her life with regard to John Paul Miller, and that she purchased that gun for actually self-protection. So that's what the family understood was happening. That's what the father said, what he was told prior to her buying that gun. And if I may, Nancy, I just want to go back to that. The photo dissemination, we were the last state in the U.S. to pass a law. It just passed May the 12th of 2025 that the dissemination of intimate photos without consent is finally now illegal in the state of South Carolina. Unfortunately, that was after Micah's passing.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. It may have been after Micah's passing, but I believe you said May 2025. Let me check. But I'm pretty sure it's nearly February of 26. But even though that passed in South Carolina, the local authorities did nothing. That's a yes, no. Isn't that true?
That is correct. And that's been a problem the whole time, is no action. But I've said before, what's been difficult in the state of South Carolina is we don't have a law on the books for the police to look to put all of these different types of things together in terms of coercive control abuse. And so the law is very much needed so the police can have something to look to and go say, hey, you know, she's called us here, you know, 20 times. She's showing us information that he is constantly calling her over and over. The police even asked him to stop talking or contacting her, and he did it anyway. So definitely should have been something done, but even on a bigger scale, it should have been done. But the police did not have the law for coercive control to look to be able to arrest him for all of these things and the totality of all of the things and the terrible things that this man did to this woman.
The feds bring down the hammer on Pastor John Paul Miller in connection with his wife, Micah Miller. Their body found submerged in a body of water. Many David Hayes still insists Micah Miller was murdered.
She was so creative. Everything she did was so creative. What's the next picture?
That from our friends at Solid Rock Ministries. Now we understand count one. There are several counts, and the pastor, John Paul Miller, has walked free. To Jennifer Wood, there are two counts.
Two counts currently, but I did note that in the press conference following the hearing, his arraignment that the U.S. attorney, Brian Sterling, who attended this hearing in person, said that the investigation was ongoing. I found that very interesting.
Interesting. Ongoing. Jennifer Wood, what could that possibly mean?
It's a good question. I mean, inside the hearing, there were so many federal agents. Like, it was unreal how many federal agents came to that hearing along with the U.S. attorney himself. So if you're reading the tea leaves, I would have to say that they are not done with their investigation.
Wow. I wonder where this could head. You know what it may be? We know that there have been cases that have been tried and won where someone is accused of driving someone to suicide. And it's not just one or two cases. There are multiple cases like that. Speaking of other cases, regarding the penalty on these two counts, listen.
If he is found guilty for cyber stalking, could be 5 years. It could be between 9 and 10 years, depending on the charges that the jury decides that he's guilty of. And then with the lying to the police, that's also another 5 years, possibly even 8 years that he could receive behind bars. So he could get almost 20 years behind bars. He could get a huge fine and he could have to be on probation for many years.
Feds do what state authorities would not do. They bring down the hammer on the so-called pastor, John Paul Miller, after the swamp death shooting of his wife, Micah Miller, who he allegedly harassed straight into a gun shop. She's on 911 claiming unidentified. His wife is dead, and he refers to that as still dealing with Micah. Now there are claims that Micah Miller's pastor husband sex assaulted a 15-year-old girl, calling his church a sex playground, according to the lawsuit. Again tonight, John Paul Miller is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. He pled not guilty, and now it's time for a trial. Straight out to Jennifer Wood, joining us from FitzNews.com. What can you tell me about this civil lawsuit claiming that John Paul Miller used the church as a sexual playground?
So there's actually two civil lawsuits against John Paul Miller out of Horry County filed by Jane Doe 1 and Jane Doe 2. Both of those are accusing John Paul Miller of sexual assault when they were underage. The allegations in these lawsuits are absolutely horrific. These women are traumatized, and it's hard. I mean, I know these lawsuits are difficult, and John Paul Miller certainly isn't making it easier. He has filed counterclaims against both of these women for defamation. These ongoing lawsuits are just sad.
Well, guys, this video from Solid Rock Ministries, according to court documents, the lawsuits allege Miller lured the girl, 15, into his father's office before forcing her into a truck where he assaulted her. It claims Miller attempted to justify his actions using a Bible verse, quote, "No man is without sin and temptation." God understands that. I'm not so sure that that's true. Dr. Sue Kornbluth joining us. He actually dragged Christ into this, according to the lawsuit.
I believe it. I mean, I think everything that we've been talking about here, that he lives in a world that is not reality-based. He is filled with power inside himself that is fake, and that he uses it to coerce people into doing things that he wants to do. It's within his manipulative nature.
To Jennifer Wood, in this civil lawsuit, there are several, I think two women joining together with similar claims.
Yes, two. And I mean, honestly, I've spoken to more victims who have not come forward formally yet with similar allegations. And it's heartbreaking what they've gone through.
Dr. Thomas Coyne, here's the problem. Thomas Coyne, Chief Medical Examiner, District 2 Med Office in State of Florida. Dr. Coyne, there's no physical proof at this juncture regarding the rape allegations because a lot of time has passed. You would have to do a rape kit at the time of the incident, correct? What would that entail?
Sure. So they would have had to have examined, I'm assuming they did examine her for sexual assault at the time of the external examination. So that would have been looking into the vaginal vault, looking to see if there was any trauma or the presence of any seminal fluid. And at that time, they could have sampled for seminal fluid or any other bodily fluids if it was present within her. And then that would have been able to be accomplished without having to perform a full autopsy. So they could have done that upon their external examination.
One thing, though, we've got Sydney Sumner is strength in numbers. Because if there are two women now joining together in that civil lawsuit, and Jennifer Woods says that she has spoken to other alleged victims, I think I'm starting to understand why there were federal agents blanketing that courtroom when he entered the not guilty plea and walked free. Sydney?
Yes, Nancy. And the allegations in that second lawsuit coming from Jane Doe number two are horrific. She claims that while attending a school operated by John Paul Miller and his father, Reginald Wayne Miller, John Paul came on to her multiple times at just 14 years old. And when she tried to tell someone about what was going on, who was Miller's father, he told her to repeat her accusation in front of John Paul Miller and then punished her, told her she was lying, and forced her to write the words, "I will not lie about John Paul Miller," 5,000 times. And her remaining time at the school was filled with bullying and assault for coming forward about a responsible adult, her teacher, coming on to her.
You know what? Do I dare ask the feds to continue their investigation? You know, I think I will. Our plea tonight is please continue your investigation. I accept that Micah committed suicide. I do not accept that he can walk free on all of these allegations. Again, John Paul Miller is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. That's our Constitution, and I uphold it. But I can have a belief. That's constitutional, too. Tonight, we remember an American hero, Detective Jason Rivera, New York City PD, shot in the line of duty after 1 year on the force, leaving behind his young widow. American hero, Detective Jason Rivera. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.